Gayon Udavos. So this is called the Shigayon, Asher Asher Lashon Adivri Kush Ben Yimini, that he's saying to God regarding what happened with Kush Ben Yimini. So lots of stuff over here. Simply put, Shigayon could be that it's a distressed poem, that he wrote this out of distress, and that's what it means over here. The other thing is that he made a mistake. Now the question is, what he made a mistake about? To understand that, we have to know who Kush Ben Yimini is. So Kush Ben Yimini, you can learn, simply put, Ben Yimini means Binyaminite. So the Binyaminite over here is referring to a Kush, a man who is as great as an Ethiopian is black. That's the line that they use in the Gemara. That the same way that an Ethiopian will never change his skin, I don't think that's in a negative way, but I suppose it could be in whatever way they want to put it, but it refers to Shaul HaMelech, that he was never relenting in either his determination to be able to kill David HaMelech, or that he was such a great tzaddik. He was a tremendous tzaddik that he never did anything out of order over here. So anyway, so that's the idea, that Dibre Kush Ben Yimini, he was running away from Shaul HaMelech. We don't know when exactly this was, but it seems toward the beginning of when he was running away. It could also be that it's referring to an anonymous Binyaminite at some other time that David HaMelech is running away from. I guess that in theory that could be. Some say it was right after he tore off the little piece of Shaul HaMelech's cloak. Remember, he tore off that little piece of cloak while he was going to the bathroom? And that's over here. But regardless, the Shigayon is that David HaMelech, so to speak, spoke out harsh words about Shaul HaMelech, or rejoiced over Shaul HaMelech's downfall. And because he's saying about the downfall, and whatever it was that he did exactly, that was a shkaga on his part. He should not have done so. He was not, even David HaMelech, is not on the level to laugh at a great tzaddik's demise. That's the idea behind it. It could be that David HaMelech offered this tefillah in case he had done something wrong about Shaul HaMelech. It's a possibility that he might not know Shaul HaMelech's greatness either. Regardless, Shaul HaMelech had a positive reason as to why he was fighting against David HaMelech and would not allow David HaMelech to become king. Shaul HaMelech understood that Binyamin had to fight against Amalek. They were the only people. Binyamin was the only one of the tribes that did not bow down to Esav, and therefore Binyamin had the ability to destroy Amalek. So Shaul HaMelech wanted to remain king until he could destroy all of Amalek, and then was going to give the kingdom over to David HaMelech. When David HaMelech realized that, he said, "Oy vey, I'm so sorry that I didn't do it in the right way."
Yeah, but he had his chance and he missed it.
Correct. So that's why he wanted to correct that before he gave up the kingdom. But that was what David HaMelech realized, and that's why he called it a Shigayon. Another line says that Shimi ben Gera is the Kush. He is the Kush Binyaminite. That's the guy over here. It could also refer to when he was in Nov, Iraklanim. Okay, anyway. Hashem Elokai, B'chol Chasisi, I take my refuge in Yoshi, and he saved me, Mikol Vive, from all those who chase after me, Vatilini, and save me, and you know, deliver me, take me out from over here, from your stern judgment, from your midas adent. Maybe you will tear apart my soul like a lion would. He's going to destroy it, tear it apart, and no one will be able to save from him. The reason why it's a lion is because the lion refers to the king, the person who is absolutely in charge. He can tear whatever it is. He's considered an ones whenever you go up against him. Even though we know that David HaMelech is from Shevet Yehuda, and he's usually referred to as the lion Yehuda, as the Gur Aryeh, right? That's the idea behind it. Nonetheless, a king always is known as lion, that he tears apart and nobody can stop him from doing so. Hashem Elokai, Imasisizos, Imi Yeshav Lechapoi, said David HaMelech, listen, I understand, or I would understand, that Shaul HaMelech would be allowed to hurt me and to punish me if I had done something wrong. So he says, Hashem Elokai, Imasisizos, if I had done this, if there had been sins on my hand, if there are streaks where I had done something wrong to somebody else, right? You know the secrets of people. You know what I've been able to do. If I've ever been eroded, if I've ever chased after anybody else, in Gamalti Shomira, those who have done peace to me, if I ever treated them badly, right? I normally have rescued my enemies for no reason at all, like I did by Shaul HaMelech, in which I took the cloak and I could have killed them and I decided not to. Most of the time I did that. If there's ever a time where I did something that was wrong, Yiradofo Yivnashi, let the enemy chase after my soul, Viyasek, reach it, Viyamos Arzhayai, and trample me to the ground, and allow my soul to be brought back down to the dirt. If I've ever been guilty of such a thing, then yes, I should die, and Shaul HaMelech should catch up to me, and it should be on my head, everything that had happened over here. But I haven't. Instead, Kuma Hashem Nefecha, get up, God, in your anger. He nasev avro sororoi, lift up through your anger, go up against my enemies, and awaken the judgment that they are trying to do to me. the judgment that you command, let that happen over here. Now, there are others that say this has nothing to do with Shaul HaMelech coming after him and trying to say that he's, you know, trying to kill him, etc. Instead, they were trying to make sure that he wouldn't marry a Jewish woman because he was from Rusa Moavia, and there were people that were paskening incorrectly at the end of the day that he could not join Klal Yisrael, and that was the distress that he was under, not death, imminent death from Shaul HaMelech, but rather the fact that they were all saying this guy should not be part of Klal Yisrael. And that he said, come on, you can't allow something to do somebody like that coming up against me. A third explanation, if not talking about Shaul HaMelech or even Shimon ben Gera or this whole idea of them trying to disqualify him from joining into Klal Yisrael. The third one, he's referring to the Yetzer Hara, my enemy that's pursuing me. And he said, but I've given up so much, I've been Moser Nefesh, and since I've been Moser Nefesh, the Yetzer Hara should have no control over me, it shouldn't happen. The whole congregation of people should gather around you, and over them, they should bring you back. The idea is that even if the nations gather around all the Jewish people, and they say, they offer to help, ignore them. Do not allow them to be, let us do it by yourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be taken care of, and that's the idea behind it. I don't want to deal with anybody else. Pasuk Tes, Hashem Yadin Amin, God will judge the nations. Shapteni Hashem Kitziki Kusumi Allah. In the same way you judge those nations, judge me, Hashem, according to my righteousness and according to my perfections, you know, the integrity, you could call it over here. I'm not worried about what the nations are going to do. You will take care of me no matter what's going to happen. Yigmar na ra Rishayim. Let the evil of the Rishayim come to an end. Uschonin Tzadik, and allow the Tzadik to be established properly. Uvokin Libos Klayos. You are the one who tests hearts and the innards of every person. You know what's going on inside them. Elokim Tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate righteous God taking care of everybody and like that. So that's interesting. I mean, that there were people that mostly loved David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is saying, you know, end the evil of the Rishayim. I'm not saying that the Rishayim should die. I'm not saying that Shaul HaMelech should die. End their evil. Don't allow their evil to propagate the way that it has been. Don't allow them to be in charge. Let somebody else be in charge. That's what he's trying to say over here. That's that. Okay. Plus, Yud Aleph over here. Oh, what did I... this is, yeah, that's that. Yud Aleph. Magini... Supposedly, the way it looks over here is David HaMelech felt that he was getting stronger by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him such tests and such machinos. Anyway, Magini Magini Alokim. My shield is upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshiach Yishrei Lev. He saves the Yashar Lev, the people that are upright at hearts. And this is the idea, since I had already done tshuva for the different things that I had done wrong, Batsheva was an issue, right, all the other things, then save me from the other things that I, you know, had. Now, obviously, this is referring to what happened by Shaul HaMelech. We don't know anything that David HaMelech did
tshuva
before
did
that.
Do?
Yeah, there was nothing. I mean, up until that point, we know nothing about what he could have done wrong. But at the end, with Batsheva, he spent the next 12 years of his life doing tshuva.
Yeah, but we know there wasn't the cloak something wrong.
Wrong and good at the same time. He didn't kill Shaul HaMelech, which showed the absolute tzidkus of David HaMelech. But nonetheless, he treated the clothing with impropriety. He thought maybe he was Morid B'Malchus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's not the problem. The issue is not what you did to Shaul HaMelech, because that was proper, because you could have killed him and you didn't. Instead, you showed improper behavior toward clothing. You didn't treat clothing in the same way. And for that, he was going to be punished for. But that's a different type of punishment. It was a punishment of not treating clothing with respect. So at the end of his life, he wasn't warmed up by clothing, right? And therefore, you have to have like a Yishak or Shunamis come up to him. It's like a different type of issue, though. And at this point, he didn't even know he did anything wrong with that. He thought he had done something wrong on Shaul, and Hashem said he didn't do anything wrong with that.
Where at this point, was he in trouble for the counting, too, at this point?
No, he had not done it. He's not king yet.
Oh,
if it's Shaul HaMelech. God judges every tzaddik, and is a righteous judge when he does so, right? God is anger, has anger every single day. Now, what is that anger? Sometimes anger be used for good. If you use anger in the proper fashion against Rishayim, when the Rishayim need the anger going up against them, that is considered a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Anger can be used properly if utilized properly. That's the idea behind it. That can possibly happen, but you've got to be careful with that. Not always does that happen well. Unfortunately, many people fail at using that. But that's what it means. That's the famous thing with Bilam. Bilam knew when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. When does he get angry? It's at the end of the day, from the Gemara, it's 158,888th of an hour. So if you want to figure that out altogether, it's 0.012 of a second. That's how angry God gets every single day. What that means and why it's that and everything like that, I don't know. But I will tell you, there is a Gemara in Kiddushin that says there are 5,888 psukim in the Torah.
Which is okay. Considered Daf Yomi.
Correct. Now, the Gemara has a big kasha. It says 5,808. The reality is it's really 5,845. Okay. But however, whatever it means, there are 5,888 psukim. So it's interesting that God's anger is 1,588 of whatever it is, which tells me, right, that there's a connection between the two, I would assume, right? So whatever that means, there's something behind it. So whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anger. But again, it's not anger as an indignancy of like, oh, I can't believe you just did that to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't feel that way. That's not the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His anger is only utilized for good in order to show the Rishayim that they had done wrong in order for the Tzaddikim to improve themselves. In Lo Yashuv, if the person doesn't do tshuva, Karbal Yotosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sword is already unsheathed. Kasho Dor Lechonea, his bow is already bent and ready, at the ready, ready to destroy the Rishayim for what they had done because of that anger. But Lo Heichin Klei Mavis, to him he has prepared already the kelim used for death. Chisav L'dolkim Mifol, his arrows are already sharpened toward those who are, you know, in order to pursue others. That's the idea behind it. Some say that the line is that the Rishayim set up their own destruction. They set up Chitzav, his own arrows of the Russia that had prepared it for others, L'dolkim, that he had sent it to other people, Yifol, it's going to affect him. He's going to be killed by his own sword. It's interesting, by the way, Bilam is the one that knew the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only one who was able to figure out the cheshbon of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, that one whatever it is out of the day. So Bilam also died by the hands of his own sword. He died by his own sword. What happened? Bilam could not be killed. That he had realized he had done something magically where nobody could kill him. No sword worked on him. No arrows worked on him. Nothing was happening. They took his own sword that had two snakes on it, and they used that to kill him. It was the only thing he could have. So what an idiot. If he could only be killed by his own sword, why wouldn't you hide your sword? Don't bring it with you. Put it somewhere else. Nobody will be able to kill you. But he was such a Baal Gaiva that he put it in. And that's what it means. Chitzav, his own arrows, the Dolkin Yifol, worked for himself. In a Chabal oven, behold, he thinks only of evil things, Vahara Amal, and he conceives mischief, we'll call it. The Yola Chukar, and he comes out with falsehood and lies and everything like that. That's the idea behind it. Over here, it's interesting. Hara Amal, the way a pregnant woman conducts herself during pregnancy allows the child to possibly be affected. I mean, now with the Zika virus, so, you know, out there and everything like that, we understand that when a person gets pregnant, it obviously can affect the baby, right? If something happens to her, if she gets the disease, that can happen to the baby. Obviously, we've heard of crack babies before, right? Where the mother is using crack or whatever it is.
Medicine is, science has proven that whatever you put in your body, the kid,
it's going to affect them, right?
No matter good or bad.
Gemara talks about where Rabbi Yochanan and I forgot who it is, Shabsoy, I forgot what his name is, the other guy, where one, Rabbi Yochanan's mother wanted to eat in Yom Kippur and she didn't, and therefore he became Rabbi Yochanan. The other one wanted to eat in Yom Kippur and did and came out with a rush of a baby, right, because she had to eat in Yom Kippur, which is interesting in and of itself, like how to think that way and what that means exactly. Regardless, it's interesting because this pregnant woman is affected by everything happening. That's Hara Amol. She's pregnant. She's got to be careful with what she takes in and what she doesn't take in, etc. Fine. Anyway, Amol also stands for Ayin Moach Lev. The eye sees, the heart lust, and the mind schemes to fulfill your own taivas. Borakar Ve'achareyu. He digs a pit, right? And digs a pit and hollowed it out. Vayipo B'shachas Yifol. And then he falls into the ditch that he had made himself. This is again referring to the Rashi. Yashuv Amol B'roshay. His violence will be turned back upon his head. Valkad Kadoch HaMasu Yareid. And his violence will go back down upon his skull itself. I will give thanks to our Kodesh Baruch Hu according to his righteousness. I will sing to the name of the God who is most high up there. That's the idea behind it. The whole idea of these onshin, HaKadosh David HaMelech is saying at the very end, I will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the stuff that he gave me. The pshat is that I understand that the reason why you're punishing me and you're doing these things is in order to purify me and to make me better, and that's the reason why I accept them, and I understand that's why you have to do it. Parak Chas. Here we go. So this is a Laman Sech on a Gittis, right? The Gittis is, again, one of those, as we said before, it's a form of a musical instrument. Again, a song of David HaMelech. It's going to be about the perfection of man, right? Our perfection of man in learning Torah and doing mitzvos as opposed to the angels. Hashem Adonenu, Hashem Ramatim Baladir Shem Kabbal Kholar, how awesome is your name, or mighty is your name among the all the land, that you give your majesty upon the heavens itself. Here's the awesome part. people have an effect even on the heavens. Meaning what we do does things up in Shemayim. The more we learn, the more we daven, and unfortunately, the less we learn, the less we daven. It has an effect upon the heavens themselves. Right? People want to compare this to the movie The Matrix, which came out years ago, right? Where everything we do has an effect because it's to you like this is a fake world and up there is the real world. I don't know. I'm not into that stuff. But what it does mean is that when a person does something right, that causes malachim to be born that are good. The more you do something wrong, that causes bad things to happen. You affect everything. And that's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your majesty is out there, and nonetheless, you still allow yourself, so to speak, to be affected. Okay, very quickly, some say that this Gittis was made by Oved Edom, who was a Gitti. Others say that David made it when he was in Gass. Others say it was a specific instrument that was going to be there. Anyway, out of the mouths of babies and little kids, you have founded ultimate strength, as we call them, Tashbar. The Tinokos of Beis Rabban are the most powerful tool that the Bnei Yisrael have. The more that they learn in Daven, the more it affects all the good things that happen. That's where Oz comes from, Anso Rekha, in order to knock down your adversaries. L'hashkis Oyev Mistakim, to knock down the enemies and take avenge what they need to do. It's interesting over here. It could be that it's referring to adults that are of weak intelligence, as if they're babies and little children, that they don't have enough or whatever it is. That's very possible over here. It's also possible that babies learn very, very fast, especially when it comes to stuff like this. It's unbelievable that we have the ability, you know, it takes us quite a while to remember things, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but little kids learn things so quickly. They learn entire languages within a year, right, figuring out what to say and what they can't say, etc., and things like that. But that's the O's. The O's, without a question, is referring to Torah, and again, it's referring to the Tash Baro over here. It's interesting also, an infant is never at a loss of what to do, right? And what he's trying to do and everything like that. An infant is always ready to be happy. When it doesn't have something, then it's up to tears. When Perek Ches in Tehillim right over here. That's the idea behind it. That's that. Alright. Pasuk Dalet, Ki Eres Shemecha, when I see your heavens, Ma'aseh Tzvosecha, the work of your fingers, your Rechucham Meshachanadva, as well as the moon and the stars that you have set up and you have done completely, when I see all of those things that you happen over here, I'm so impressed. And here, David HaMelech is trying to say, listen, aside from the obvious that, you know, that you set up the world where we can affect you, when you set up the world where the babies can affect you, even babies and little children have the ability to do things in Shemayim itself, I'm also impressed by everything I see in the sun. Now, this is going to sound like more of a Ravigdor Miller thing, but Ravigdor Miller didn't write this. This is just like one of those ideas that goes like this. David HaMelech was able to look up at the heavens every single day and be impressed by what he saw. Seeing the sun, the moon, and especially the moon and the stars, as they went through the heavens and going through their things in the heavens themselves, he was unbelievably impressed. He found it new every single day. He considered it like a brand new chiddush to him every single day. He never considered it old and whatever it is. The daily sight was like a novel thing for him. This is absolutely unbelievable. Some say he did this every night when the harp played and he woke up at midnight. He'd look outside, see the constellations, all the stars out there, sometimes the moon, depending on the month, and say, this is unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And it is. The grandeur of night, when a person can actually see the stars, not in Chicago, but in another area where you actually could see the stars, which now is getting harder and harder to see. It's unbelievable to see such things. You remember that there's a God when you're able to see those things out there. And it's interesting. It's etzvosecha, ma'ase etzvosecha, not the ma'ase of your hands, your handiwork, but your fingers, the specifics behind it, the very individual things of each finger doing something, so to speak, is unbelievable. Not just your handiwork, what you're able to make, but the overall plan with everything. That's unbelievable. So what is man that you should remember him? And the son of man that you should notice him? What are we here for? What in the world? What? Because all these little deeds, they should affect you in Shemayim? What, because I daven one morning, all of a sudden that should have an effect? And if I don't daven, that should have an effect? How is that Shayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are we? And you have made him a little less than divine, a little less than a god. As we say from this pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest to come up there. He was on the 49th level of Kedusha. You let him lose a little bit from being a god. He was never able to make that 50th level. The Chavad B'Hadar Tatsreyu, you give man honor. You give him splendor. You crown him with this for no reason at all. It makes no sense whatsoever. Why in the world are you giving this to him altogether? But those are the 50 Sharm that are meant over here of what happens. It says, Pasuk Zayin, Hamshiliv Ma'asiyadecha. You gave him rulership over all the other Ma'asiyadayin that you have, all the other things that you have made in this world. In other words, the fish, the animals, the birds, the trees, everything in the world is ruled by man. And you allow him to be that ruler. All things that you have placed, you have put underneath his feet, and he walks over, he rules over. For what? What do we do? For what reason? The sheep and the oxen, all of them, all the beasts of the field, we have absolute dominion over them, we can do whatever we want with them. That birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, over Orchos Yamin, that go through the paths of the seas.
Yeah, but...
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
No, the paths of the seas just refer to I was thinking of the word... currents. The currents of the sea where you have all these fish that are around there at all times. It is amazing. I mean, there are certain parts of the sea, I'm sure, that are absolutely filled and teeming with fish, right? But by the current where all the things are going together, it's amazing how many fish and how many different things can go there all at the same time. I didn't just learn that from Finding Nemo. I knew that before that as well. I can promise that. Pasuk Yud. Hashem al Dininu, Hashem our Master, Ma'adir Shem Chavuk Halaret. How mighty is your name among the whole land. And that, again, is a repetition of what he said in the very, very beginning,
right,
where he said very, very simply, the first line was, Hashem Arinu Ma'adir Shem Chavuk Halaret. It's the same idea. He said, this is the main theme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the faculties to be able to rule over everything, and it's amazing what you were able to get. What's
up? But isn't this perceived ruling of man over everything?
Beast, yeah.
Not really anything at all, because we know that God on top of us who's really pulling all the strings.
How have I? We already knew. We always knew that. But no, in theory, we rule ourselves.
These guys knew
anything we knew. Yes, but David Melch is saying it's amazing that you're able to make us think this way. We have the ability to think whatever we want. And there are men that have the ability to deny God's existence. That is the craziest thing in the world. It's the craziest thing that God allows man to deny his creator. That's unbelievable. How is that possible? No robot, no machine, no child can come about and say, no, I never had any parents. Or no, that the man doesn't rule over me, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't exist by anything else in the world. Hashem's power, his true power, is seen. The Micha Mocha Ba'ilim Hashem is the fact that he remains Elin. That there are times where he's silent, even when somebody does something totally against him.
How do you want to go against, like I'm saying, you say that atheists don't really exist. But I'm saying, then how do you explain
that? No, they do exist. They do exist, and Hashem allows them to exist.
So,
Hashem allows them to continue, unlike anything else in the world. There's nothing else in the world like it. That's the crazy part.
And they pronounce saying God doesn't exist. I'm and they didn't create. So I'm saying, isn't that a problem with what Mary just said?
No, that's exactly my point. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for such people to live. While there's no other creature, there's nothing else in the world who could deny anything their creator's existence. A baby would never say, I came from nothing. I came out of nowhere. He wouldn't do that, even if he never saw his parents. He would never do it. It's impossible. So there's nothing else in the world but nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts himself in such a position. That shows his strength, that I am allowing people to do whatever they want, to think whatever they want. They want to think that way? Go ahead. That's fine. It says, in Perek Tes, Lam Natzeach, Muslabain. For, again, Lam Natzeach, for the conductor over here. Muslabain, for the death of Labain, Mizmor LeDavid, a song of David Melch. Now, my Pashpshah, when I first looked at this, I said to myself, oh, it must be the child of David Melch. David Melch did lose a few children. Amnon passed away. Avshalom passed away, was killed, right? Amnon was killed. Avshalom was killed, right? There were other, Adoniel was killed after his lifetime. He did have a child, the first child of Bathsheba that died. I thought to myself, okay, the Labain over here is referring to the child of David Melch that passed away, but then it wouldn't be a song. It would be hard to say that that would be a Mizmor LeDavid. So that can't be it. So who was it that died? So if you look at the word Labain, you can turn it around and it says Nevel. You see that? Nevel. Nevel HaKarmeli. Remember Nevel HaKarmeli? That was the original husband of Abigail. The original husband of Abigail, who wouldn't give David HaMelech any of his sheep, any of his cows, any of whatever it is, when he came around. What do you got?
I mean, that's Radak.
The Radak says that over there. And that's that. Obviously, and that's what we're referring to. He's hiding it, because I guess he didn't want to remind people about Nevel when he was still alive. Maybe that's the reason why he did it. But nonetheless, when Nevel died, the person who wouldn't give him anything, and then our with him and died during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, finally passing away on Yom Kippur, which is amazing, by the way. How many people do you know that died on Yom Kippur? Usually it's a sign of a tzaddik. He was forgiven before he died. I guess he was married to Abigail, so he must have been a really, really good person. But anyway, that's one. Another pshat could be as referring to Golias. The Golias was known as a bin ish habinin, a man of huge size. So it could be Laban is a reference to Goliath, the man of Benin. Maybe that's referring to that.
Maybe there was an image once that it meant literally.
What?
The
Goliath is what?
Large.
Oh, of course he was large. No. The Pasuk says he was six amos tall, which makes him 9.5 feet. Right? There's no question about that. But this means Isha Binin. I will thank God with all my heart. I will tell over all of your wondrous works. I'm going to thank God with everything I have. And this makes sense. Whether it's Goliath or Nabal, whatever it was, he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that either he didn't kill Nabal, Nabal died on his own, or that he got involved with Goliath. I just defeated Goliath. I was a nobody. Either I made a Kiddush Hashem by doing so, or whatever it is, there's a tremendous simcha that is involved over here of what it has. And he used pure kavanah to do it. Pasuk Gimel. Esmecha, I will be happy, Ve'eltzavach, and I will exult in you. Azamra Shimcha Elyon, I will sing praise to your holy name for what you've done for me. Beshuva Vayachor, when all my enemies stumbled backward, Yikashu Liyovdim Mibanecha, they will stumble and they will be lost from in front of you. Again, if this is Goliath, makes a lot of sense. The Plishtim moved back. If it's Nabal, perhaps Nabal had some people that were on his side. Like, yeah, I don't give anything to David Melech. David Melech is a Russia. Why bother giving anything to David Melech? And on that, David Melech said, wow, once Nabal died, they all realized it was because of me, and they came onto my side. Perhaps that's what he meant over here. When you did my judgment, my din, you sat on the throne as a righteous judge. Here again, people are making fun of him for saying that he was from a Moabi woman, and therefore he wasn't ready to join Klal Yisrael, and certainly wasn't ready to marry Avigayo, a Nevi'ah, right? A Nevi'ah woman, maybe that wouldn't be there. And nonetheless, he was there as well. He was perfectly fine. Also, remember, it's a day of judgment, right? He said, you did a Shofet Tzedek. Well, if it's Nabal, when did Nabal die?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, right after Rosh Hashanah and Nesar Zimitshuva, which makes a lot of sense over here. Okay, that's that. There's someone who says referring to Bathsheba, it's kind of hard to say that over here, but regardless. Goar to Goyim, you have rebuked the nations. Again, if it's Goliath, it means the Plishtim. Maybe it means a Malik, or maybe the people that are on Neville's side. He bought it to Russia. He got rid of the Russia. Whether it's referring to Goliath, possibly Esav, in like a more grandeur scheme. Maybe Neville itself. Shmomach Yisolombad, you have erased their name forever and ever. It's interesting, by the way. You ever heard a kid by the name of Neville? No. Nimrod exists. You have people named after Nimrod. You have people named Yishmael. You'll never hear Nabal. In fact, it doesn't even make any sense because now Nabal means abominable. Even an Israeli wouldn't name their kid abominable, right? Unless it's snowman. But other than that, you're never gonna name somebody like that. Again, you got rid of him. You erased his name forever. No one will ever be known that way. As a side note, Goliath as well. Goliath's name is not known anymore. It's gone. And for the same reason, I don't know anybody named Goliath. Even though in theory, it means a giant of a man. So why not name a person Goliath? I guess it could be a good name, but I've never heard of anybody naming their kids that way. Except maybe a trailer park somewhere. Oh, yes. The enemy. The idea is your waste areas are gone forever. But Arim Nasashi, you destroyed cities. Avad Zichronema. Their whole Zechar, everything about them is completely gone. That's the idea behind them. Certain cities that were built by the enemy no longer exist. They're not here anymore. Pasachas. Hashem Lolom Yeshev. But God, even though those cities made by the powerful, no, whatever, they thought they were going to last forever, never. But Hashem sits forever. Koni Lomishbakiso. He establishes for judgments his throne. The Yishpot of Tzedek, he will judge the entire world in righteousness. Yadim Lomim Yisharim. He judges people in the most upright way. Yesham Yiskav Ladach. And thus, God becomes a high tower, a protective refuge for the downtrodden. Le'itos Batsara, during the times of pain. And they will trust in you, those who know your name. You will not forsake those who are seeking you out. Obviously, that's from the very end of, right? That's the line behind it. It's a side note. One of the shemos that we use in order to destroy our enemies is a shem that's known as Chaf Hei Saf. Right? Chaf Hei Saf. The last letters over here, Lo Azavta, Dor Shecha, Hashem, the last three letters of those three words are Tuf Chaf Hei. Those are the three letters that we know in order to destroy your enemy. So if you really want to destroy your enemy, I don't know if you want to, if you really want to destroy your enemy, concentrate on those three letters and you will be able to destroy them. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to kill his enemies, right? The Ish Mitzri, that Egyptian man, he killed him by saying that name. That's why the next day, when Dustin and Abir were using the name on themselves, he said to them, Lama Sake Reyecha, Sake is Tuf. Chav Chafei. Why are you trying to use Taka against your friend? It doesn't work against your friend. You can't. You can only use it against your enemies. Interesting, right? Zavol Hashem lo Yoshek Tzion. Sing to God, O those who dwell in Tzion. This doesn't literally mean Yerushalayim, although it could. It means the people are resting on high. We're on a very high level. Hagidu Ba'amim Alilosav. Tell over among the nations of God's works. And that's the idea behind it. Again, it could refer to the Beis Hamikdash itself. Ki Doris Gamim Mosam Zachor. He who avenges blood, he will remember them. Lo Shachach Tzakas Anavim. He will never forget the cries of the poor people, right? Of those people who are humbled, right? He will never forget them. He will take revenge at some point. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe, because we just mentioned the Yoshev Tzion and the Beis Hamikdash, maybe the Nakam, the Nekama that's happening over here is those who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. That he will take revenge against those who tried destroying the Beis Hamikdash. This is going up against Nebuchadnezzar, let's say. I don't know. Maybe it's referring to those who died. What? It seems a little weird that it's mentioned over here when everything is happening. But again, he just said, V'yishasham miskav ladach, they'll protect those who are downtrodden. Aye, but they died. The Jews have died many, 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 many times over the years, so clearly God is not protecting them. And on that we're saying, no, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of anyone who is murdered. That's going to be taken care of in every single murdered, even the righteous Gentiles who have been murdered in their time will be revenged or avenged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to happen. And then it says, give me favor, Hashem. See how I've been afflicted by my enemies. Lift me up, exalt me from the gates of death that were over here. That's the idea of Prokulti Losech, so that I can tell over all of your praises to Shari Basion among the gates of the daughter of Zion. Again, it's referring to Yerushalayim. Agilu Yeshua Tech, and I will rejoice in your deliverance and your Yeshua that you have given over. Tabu Gaim Bishachas Asu. Let the nations sink in the pit that they have made. Breshzu Tamanu. In that net, that snare that they had hidden, Milkidur Azlam, they capture themselves. They get themselves down. Again, we don't have any specific case over here. Apparently, the Plishtim made pits and threw them around everywhere so that when they fought David HaMelech and his men would fall into the pits. Like they went to the war site before they actually fought the war and dug a bunch of pits. And somehow David HaMelech and his men always ran over them, right? But the Plishtim kept falling into those same booby traps that they had set up for the Jews. They fell right in. Right? No, they never were. But that's that. No dasha mishpat asah before Akavav. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has made himself known. He has done judgment with his own hands. No kish rasha. I put the comma in the wrong place there. Mishpat asah. No dasha mishpat asah. God knows the mishpat that he does before Akavav. His own handiwork. Again, this is the rasha. No kish rasha. Rasha is captured. Higayin. Right. This is my words. Sela, and it should be known forever. That's the idea behind what happens over here. There's a mushal over here. I didn't like. It. I'm not going to write it over here. It's weird. It's a weird mushal. But it's mentioned by the Medrash Rabbah. Yeshuvu Rishayim L'Sha'olah. May the wicked all turn back to Sha'ol. Sha'ol literally is the grave. But here it's really referring to Gehenna. Kol Goyim Shechech Elohim. All those nations that have forgotten God should be gone forever. Pasuk Yitzchak and that's on Yishchach Avion. May God not forget the Avion, the downtrodden, the destitute forever. Tikvaz Aniyim, right?
Yeah.
It's not enough him?
No, I need.
Okay. The hope of those humble people, Tovul Ad, it should not ever be lost. I'm sorry that it says it this way, but Kilo, when Netzach Yishachas Avion, Tikvaz Aniyim Tovul Ad. So the Kilo applies to both of them. Neither one should be lost or forgotten. Kumashem. Get up, God. Al Ya'oyiz Enosh. Do not allow a man to prevail. Yishaptu Goyim Alpanecha. Let the nations be judged, right, upon your face, upon your presence. Let that happen. Shisa Shamor Lahem. May God set fear upon them. Mora, notice by the way, I know it's Mora with a hay. This is pure and unadulterated fear. Mora with an aleph is just fear. Mora with a hay is ultimate fear. Yidgan Hashem Basila, and all the nations should know that they are but a man and nothing more than that forever and ever, and that's the idea behind it. Now, technically, some people say that this Talmud, Perek Yud, is the same thing as Perek Tes, that they're connected to one another. There's a Gemara that says that. So look what it says. But Lama Hashem Talmud Barachok, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu do you stand far time when you eat those, and you hide yourself at times of pain? Why do you allow that to happen? Meaning, we have suffered many, many years, said David Melch, under the oppression, under the rule of many of these other nations. Why do you allow that to happen over here? one of the reasons why they say that these two are connected. Did you notice, by the way?
There's no mizmor.
Exactly. Every other mizmor started off with something, but this doesn't. It's clearly not like that. It's weird that it doesn't do so. It's clear. Maybe he didn't sing it with music. It could be its own thing, and he just sang it as like a, I don't know, a cappella group, and he's just like slapping his knee for like little, you know, stuff like that. I don't know. Absolutely no idea. Or some say that he sang this right before he fought Goliath, as he was going up with Goliath, you know, with a little slingshot and everything. He's saying this. Why are you standing from afar? Why are you allowing the plishtim to do this? I'm sorry?
As one of the battle champions.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. In other words, you don't need music for that, right? Okay, the Gavas Russia. When the Gaiva of the Russia grabs hold of him, Yidlak Ani, he pursues the poor man. Let him be caught in the plot that he himself has done. In other words, let him be caught by that thing itself. It's interesting over here. Yidlak could be kindled. You know what happens? Begavas Russia, when the Russia brags, Yidlak Ani, the Ani becomes very, very upset. I lived my whole life trying to do good and trying to do everything, and you give that guy everything? Why is that guy successful? The Ani gets upset. Kihilo Rasha al Tavis Nafsho. When the Rasha praises himself on the tithes of his soul, the greedy man goes ahead and blesses God and renounces HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hetzis. So first of all, Boteh Berech Ni Etashem is a famous line. If you steal something, you are not allowed to make a brach on it. Boteh Berech, if you steal something and then make a brach on it, Ni Etashem, God hates you. God despises you. Lehalacha, you are not allowed to make a bracha on something that you stole. Number two, you are not allowed to make a bracha on non-kosher food. Boteh Berech, if you go in and take things that are not yours, you make a bracha, Niyet Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates it. That's brought down in some Nun Beis in the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah.
If you stole a law from someone else's stuff and uses it for your own.
That's a different issue.
Why?
Because there's Takanas HaShavim is number one. And number two, because there may be Shnei Rishus and Yush in that case, because you're actually using the thing. But it's a good kasha. Like food, though, there might not be Yush. That might be the difference behind it, and that's the idea. Again, it could be this referring to Goliath again. It's obvious that it'd be Goliath. Yeah.
That you didn't steal what was stolen.
Once you get to that point of Shinu Rishus, then we already assume Yush. So yeah, that would be okay by that point. Right? That would be okay over here. Halakha, you're not allowed to take away another person's sitter in order to daven. Can't do a mitzvah. Well, can't steal a mitzvah. When they need it. You can take someone's talus if he's not using it. You can take someone's tzitzis if he's not using it. You can take someone's sitter if he's not using it. But you can't take something from someone else if he's not going to be able to do it. Stop. Kilo Rosh Hashanah is not show. I'm going to say this really quickly, okay? Reb Zusha Manipoli was once inside a city. Nobody knew about him yet, whatever it was. And he was inside a city. He davened Marv really, really long. After it was over, Friday night, he went to the Gabbai's house. He asked for a meal. The Gabbai's like, it's too late. Everybody's done with their meal. But he said, but the mayor of the city is still around. Maybe you go to the mayor of the city. So Reb Zusha said, okay. He said, but you can only go there if you're a Talmid Chacham. Are you a Talmid Chacham? So Reb Zusha Manipoli said, no, I'm not a Talmid Chacham. Okay, so he said, you come with me. Just don't make any noise. Don't make a scene. He goes into that mayor's house. And of course he makes a scene. He gets up there. He makes kiddush really loudly. He starts singing out loud, right? So the mayor goes up to him. He says, hi, how are you? Who are you? He said, my name is Zusha. So he said, are you a Talmid Chacham? He said, no. He's like, then you can't be here. I only have Talmid Chacham at my table. I don't have anybody else at my table. He said, okay, right? But everybody else is like, come on, just let him stay. He's around, whatever. So he said, I don't want Amir Atzim. So he said, okay, so put him at a table that's next to our table, like all the way in the side. Like, put him over there. So Reb Zusha went to another table, right? And started singing his own song and started doing his own thing, and all his stuff, right? So a couple of people were sitting at the table. They were discussing their tastes. And they turn around, they see this guy, and they're like, this guy's a hidden tzaddik. Something up with this guy. This guy's not stam. This guy's hidden tzaddik. So they go up to him and say, tell us the Devar Torah. So he said, I don't know any Torah. He said, no, come on, tell us the Devar Torah. He said, I don't know. So the mayor comes over and he's like, I know you're a Talmid Chacham. Let's go. Here's some Devar Torah. He said, all right, one time I heard a contradiction. So what's the contradiction between? He said, it's a contradiction between the Haggadah and Tehillim. I said, Haggadah and Tehillim? What kind of a steer is that? Okay, what's a steer? What's a contradiction? He said, in the Haggadah, it says, Zeichel Amikdash Kehillel. We make a sandwich and we do what Hillel did. So it must be that Hillel was a good guy. Sounds like Hillel was a good guy. If we're copying his sandwich, then he must be a really good person, right? So they start laughing. They're like, yeah, it's Hillel. Yes, Hillel's a good guy. He says, okay, but in Tehillim, it says, Ki Hillel Russia. The Hillel is a Russia. So what's chat? He says Hillel's a tzaddik, now Hillel's a Russia. What's going on over here? Right? We all know, Hillel Russia. Hillel is the Russia, praises himself all time, is not sure. What's going on? Right? So everybody starts laughing. Everybody starts cracking up. They're making fun of him, right? And they're like, oh, this is a zero. So one guy is able, out of his convulsions of laughter, he's able to get up and says, what's the answer to this theorem? So Zusha turns all serious and says, when Hillel is willing to give of his money to others and he's willing to share with other people, then Hillel is a tzaddik. He shares sandwiches with others, that's when he's a tzaddik. But when Hillel only wants to do things for Taivas Nafsho and he's thinking only of himself, then he's a Rasha. So the mayor gets up there and says, how do you know my name is Hillel? So Zusha gets up there and says, I know a lot of things. I can tell you many things about yourself that you don't know. He says, that's that. It comes from this puzzle. I just remember. Okay, new. Yeah, that's that. Russia, ki gaiva alp apa. The wicked, in their pride, in their ultimate anger, they say, God's never going to find me. All of his thoughts, his plans are, God doesn't care. He prospers. His ways are prospering every time. Your judgments are far above him. All the enemies are blowing at God. They're like, come on. You think he's really going to hurt me? It's not going to happen whatsoever. Right? It's not going to happen. And Yachilu Durakov could also be their ultimate confidence. The wicked man is confident they'll be able to do it. Others say he becomes more and more sickly from all the different bad things that he does. He says, look in Pasuk Vav, unbelievable Balamot. He says in his heart, I will never be moved. In all the generations, there will never be any evil that will ever happen to me. Everything will be fine. Even my kids and my grandkids, everybody can be evil. We'll all be fine. Nothing's going to happen. Allah Pio Malay, his mouth is filled with oaths, umirmos vaseich, as well as lies and fraud. Underneath his tongue, even when he speaks out good words and he davens and he says good things, beneath his tongue is amal, is mischief, the oven, and evil. That's what this guy is doing. Beneath what he's saying, underneath it, he's saying evil things. That's what he's doing over here. He sits in ambush among the different villages, in the hidden places, secret places, he kills the innocent. His eyes look out toward the helpless, toward the people. He's always watching out for the helpless to be able to get them, not to help them, right? But the helpless in order to oppress them and take away their stuff. He's always looking out for them. He ambushes in hiding places like a lion in his lair. He lies in wait to grab the poor. He grabs any and pulls them into his net, and he takes them. He doesn't care how big or how small, whatever. He's like a lion, destroying anyone and everyone who comes near him. He crouches and bows down, even when he gets old, and he can't even straighten his back anymore, and he's constantly like on his whatever, and he falls down. He's able to knock down other people, the weak people. He's able to do that as well. Here's the idea. There's a muscle. A little mouse is always told by his mother to be on guard against their greatest, most dangerous enemy, who catches and devours mice. One day the mother sent the mouse to fetch some food. With great caution, it stepped outside, when lo and behold, it was this large hen flapping its wings and making an awful noise. Right? So the little mouse was frightened, rushed back to its mother. What happened to you? She said. I saw this great, big, frightening creature out there, so I ran back into the cave, right? I ran back into our home. Said the mother, don't be afraid of that. That's not our enemy. Another time, the little mouse was sent out to get for food and ran into a screeching turkey. The bird made such a huge noise, right, that once again, I know, because they're not dangerous. Then once again, the terrified mouse ran back for safety to its mother. But now, the mother calmed the little mouse and said, you have nothing to fear from a creature that makes so much noise. However, you should be afraid of a cat that is silent and not doing anything. The chicken that flaps its wings, don't worry. The turkey that screeches, don't worry. The cat that's silent, that's what you have to worry about. That's what you'd have to do. And that's the idea behind it. It's those who are silent, so to speak, prowling, ambushing, that you have to worry about. The guys that are out loud saying, like, here's what I'm going to do, those guys, they don't really mean it. They're not the people that you have to worry about. He said in his heart, God forgets me. He's still front of me. He's head in his face. He doesn't see anything at all. Get up, God. God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the poor people. Why should the wicked man say terrible things about God? Says in his heart that God will not seek us out. Right, you have seen. You have seen this amovakas, this anger of the Russia and all of the toil. To put it into your hands, the poor people have thus been forsaken. Yasamata yisozer. And even the orphans that get that help. Shibor Zohar Rasha says David HaMelech, break the arm of the Rasha Barati Drosh, let him seek out his weakness. Risho Baltimsa, do not allow his weakness to be found by anyone. Don't allow him to find anyone to be able to do. Shamelech Lamed, Azugamarzo, get rid of all the nations from his land. Tavazan of him, Shamasa Hashem, you have listened to the taiva of the humble people, talking Libam, you have prepared their hearts, Takshav Venecha, and you listen to everything they say. Lishbo Yasamadoch, you have thus judged the orphans and the very poor. No longer will anyone be tyrannized from the land. Now, there were four people who challenged the Midat HaDin. David HaMelech here, Yirmiyahu, Asaph, and the children of Korach. They all said different lines over here. This is David HaMelech's line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you allow this to happen? Now, Parak Yud Aleph. For the conductor of David, right? She said, in Hashem, I have put my refuge, my trust. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain over here? Now again, this could refer to a bunch of different situations. Either it could be when he was running away from Shaul HaMelech, where he had to fly away to the mountain in order to get away from Shaul HaMelech to be able to hide in all different places. Right? That's one. Number two, you could say, how are you saying to me that I can fly away from my own problems, that I can get away from my own issues? I have to do tshuva. Don't think that I can ever run away from my own Yetzirah and everything like that. That's the idea. I have to assure myself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me become a better person. A third one is during the siege of Keilah, when the policemen were destroying the crops, and David HaMelech was trying to help the Jews that were going out there, at the same time that Shaul HaMelech was chasing after him. That could be another time when it goes through. The fourth time is possibly by the times of Avshalom. So whether it's running away from Shaul HaMelech during the siege of Keilah, or it's just a remez altogether to the Yetzer Hara, etc., or it's referring to when he's running away from Avshalom, he's saying, how could you tell me to just run away to the mountains as if I didn't do anything wrong? Kinei Rishayim Yidukun Kashas. As the Rishayim set up their bow, and they put their arrow upon the bow, the Ma'ofa Liros Yisraelim, in the darkness, they're ready to shoot to those who are straight of heart. And they have destroyed the foundation, Tzadik Malpa'al. What can the righteous man do at this time? The foundations of the world are Din, Emes, and Shalom. When those are threatened, what do you want us to do? Hashem Heichol Kacho, Hashem is in his Heichol. Hashem Hashem Kiso, he sits up in the heavens on his throne. In of Yechzu, his eyes see, Apapav Yivchanu B'nei Adam, and his eyelids see and test the people that are out there. Says David HaMelech, I know that happens. Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, he tests the Tzadik Rosh of Oyekhamal, son of Abshai, and he despises the Rosh and the one that loves the one who loves violence. So David HaMelech is now approaching that question, why did the righteous suffer? Why did the Tzadikim go down? And he's saying like this. He says the Tzaddik is tested as a loyal servant would be by his king in order to see if he's truly on the side of the king. That's what he's doing over here. The test is not meant to ferret out evil, but it's the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of the Tzaddikim, making sure that Hashem's name is glorified wherever it goes. Mashal, a monarch built a high tower in the orchard and commanded that many of his subjects be confined inside to work for him. The king said to them, anybody who excels at his craft, who does everything well, is going to get a full reward here. Anybody who's lazy is going to be sent home. Okay, that's the idea behind it. You stay here, you'll stay in Gan Eden. If you have to be sent home, that's when you go out to Gehenna. That's the idea of what happens over here. It's a havchana, it's a test in order the tzaddik to succeed. And you know better, as the Ramban famously says in Parshas Bo, you will never be tested with a test that you cannot pass. That's the idea. It doesn't mean you'll pass. Yavdal Rishayim Pacham Esh V'Gafris. He will rain down on top of the Rishayim coals and fire and sulfur, which is awesome, but definitely can refer to a war of some sort. Ruach Delafos, a scorching wind at Minas Kaisam, that is going to be their portion, and what they get, Einish after Einish after Einish, and that's what their end is going to be. After the last nail in the Lushi saying, all the Rishayim seem to be successful, everybody seems to be going well, everything seems to be. Now he's saying, this is what's going to happen. He's tzaddik Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik. Tzedakah Zahav, he loves righteousness. Yashar Yechzuf Neimo. And those who are Yashar, those who are upright, will see his face and realize what he has to do over here. Let's do one more parak. Parak Yud Beis, on the Seach Lashmini, this is, again, for the conductor, on the eight-stringed instrument. A mizmor to David HaMelech. Now again, this could be, it's a reference to that. It's also, on Seach Lashmini, could be about the Bris Mila. Some say that he wrote this after seeing the beauty of a bris mila for the first time. That David HaMelech went to the mikvah, right, and he was naked, and he said, "Oy vey, I don't have any mitzvahs on me," and then saw that he ate a bris mila, and for that he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Shemini.
In that shot, he wrote for me, like, he thought of it and then he wrote it down later, or?
Yeah, with some soak, because he couldn't write it right in there at that moment. A good call over there. Hoshi Hashem ki gemar chassid, save HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the chassidim in the world are no longer. There are no longer the people that you would consider chassidim in the world. Except for him, obviously. Kifasu omuni v'ni adam, trustworthy people, they're no longer here. There's nobody like that. There's nobody that we can trust. No one wants to help. When I was betrayed, when I was maligned by King Shaul, nobody was willing to help. Now granted, it was King Shaul, it was the king. But nonetheless, nobody hated falsehood enough to be able to stand up against my persecutors and go like that. You just don't find that anymore. You don't find the people that are willing to be most inept for it. Each man speaks to one another with falsehoods. Smaskala goes with flattering lips. They speak out two opinions. I know Zoe Gadomi. The guy's a liar and a cheat. I know Achitofel. The guy's a flatterer and only tries to make everybody feel better for his own, for himself to be brought up. Plus, Galit, Yakushem Kosis Akalakos. May God cut off all the lips that are flattering. Lashem Gadabras Gadolos. The tongues that speak out these proud things. Gadolos over here, Chazal learned from over here that Lashon Hara is worse than Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah. All of those things are known as Gedola or Gadol. All those three. This is known as Gidolos. Lashon Hara and speaking out lies and Hanifa, which is flattering, are all known as Gidolos. It's even worse. Asher Amru, they say, Loshonim Nadbir will prevail by our tongues. Svastinu Itanu, our lips will be for us. Yadolmanu, who's going to rule over us? Nothing's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you two protective walls not to speak out evil. You have your teeth and you have your lips. And nonetheless, you're still going to say, we're going to do what we want to do. Our lips will rule over us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't tell us what to do. Mishodanim, from plundering the poor, Me'enkas of Yonah, from the cries of the destitute, Ata Akum, now I will get up, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu Yomar Hashem, Ashis V'yesha, I will set him up in safety and salvation, Yafiach Lo, those who used to hiss at him. That's the idea, the poor will then be brought up to a higher level. Pasuk Zayin, Imros Hashem Memaros Hayros, the words of God are obviously pure and set, Keset Saruf, refined silver, Ba'lil La'aret, they are purely on the ground, Mizuka Shiva Zayin, refined seven times over. There's no dross in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing wrong in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every word of the Torah can be understood in one way, even if we can't understand it. Somebody understands it in a way where there's something behind every single word, just like silver or gold that has been refined seven times over. You should be careful, you should keep them. You should preserve us from this generation forever and ever. Safeguard us from the evil people and from the hapless people, from the bad people that are around there. Although the Rishayim walk on all sides, Krum Zulus Lebnei Adam. That's when exaltedness will inviolate. Is exalted among other people. When the weak and the defenseless are exploited, that's when you really realize that all people are going down. Some say this refers to tefillah. When tefillah is treated like garbage, the kerum, the stuff that's up the romei meroimim, up on high, is zulus, is mezalzel, and people make fun of it, they neglect it because they don't want to do it. That's when you know things are going badly. That's when things are really, really bad. He also says it could be kerum, when people take the Torah, which is exalted, and mezalzel it, they make fun of it by making interpretations that don't make any sense, their own pshatim, ideas that aren't true, then you've got a real problem over here. You have to, if you're going to translate the Torah, you got to do it based on reason. That's the idea behind it and how a person has to do. And some say that it just refers to vile deeds, which some people consider, oh wow, that's a great thing to be able to have. The way that people look at some things that are pure averos and they say like, oh wow, that guy is so an awesome person because look at what he did. That's something that's absolutely disgusting over here. Either way, as we said before, this might be that it's referring to a bris. It's hard to say that any of these words refer to a bris.
Yeah, it seems like it has nothing to do with it.
Seemingly, the only way there would be is just like there's a bris krusa lisfasayin, a bris made for the lips of different people. Perhaps that's the bris that's being made connected to the bris mila. We do know two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and the mouth is connected to there. So perhaps the fact that he's saying don't speak Lashon Hara is a connection to keeping the holy bris down there. Nonetheless, it's a very difficult thing to be able to say. It's not the fact that it says Shminis, what their connection is there. Chazal tell us that because of that, what a person should say at a bris milah is Mizmor Vav. Not Mizmor Yud Beis, but Mizmor Vav, which is properly made regarding a bris milah itself. That is Tachnun, right? To say what's happening over there, that you cry, etc. Alright, that's that. We'll stop with this for right now. We're on Perek Yud Gimel. Okay, let's try it, everybody.